generous toward them, and you'd meet them where they're at today, Lord, and we could all be in those positions one day. Be with our commissioners and the judge today that make the right decision for this county, and we are, God. We thank you for your many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On honor of the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you again, Chaplain. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'll ask y'all, too, to kind of, there's commissioners' courts and city councils, and they run things a little bit different here and there. I just ask everybody, just a reminder, if somebody's talking, let them finish what they're talking about before we interrupt them, us, too, for that matter. I know I've been guilty of it my own self. So let's just kind of keep an eye on that and make sure it doesn't get out of hand. Item number one, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Also, a reminder from the county clerk, if you are going to speak, particularly if you're newer to our court or whatever, please put your name on that sheet over there. They have to enter the name and type it out. They want to make sure they spell it right. So if you are going to speak, in this 3 minutes, go and put your name there. Does anybody want to address the court today?
I'm sure Dale does.
Kurt, my guess is they have your name, but go ahead.
Yes, my name is Kurt Guidry, Orange County Maintenance Director. Judge, Commissioners, had a meeting with Commissioner Beecham this morning in related to the building in Mauriceville. And after further conversations with the commissioner, we are going to rebuild the office in Mauriceville as is. Maintenance is going to do all the inside work, and we're going to repaint it and fix it all up and put it back in Mauriceville. That's it.
Sounds good. How much?
Don't know that yet. Hopefully, my ballpark figure is to keep it under 20.
I think we might go a little more.
I'm hoping that we can achieve that because most of the stuff that contractors do is the labor. I think we can achieve that goal and get it back open.
I'm very excited. And Kurt, thank you for meeting.
Sure.
All right. I've already been to Sherman Williams.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Dale Parrish. I would like to ask the Commissioner's Court to reappoint a new Parks Board under the provisions of the Texas Article 320 of the Local Government Act. The law states that the Commissioner's Court can adopt a Parks Board, and those appointments should be made in the month of February. That would be a 7-member board, and I think that if we had 7 citizens working for Parks in Orange County, we could bring in a lot more resources. I know the Commissioner's Court has got lots of things on his hand, that there are over 100 different budgets that you have to be responsible for, and the park is only one of those. If we had 7 people working for that, I think we could make a lot of progress. The county contracted 40 years ago to keep the facilities at Claiborne West that were built with the Land and Water Conservation Fund open and available to the public for 50 years. And as we know, we've got a lot of problems out there now, and we have some facilities that are not. The bridge has been closed since Rita. The pavilions now have some serious problems, which y'all are aware of, and I would like to see y'all appoint the Board of Parks Commissioners to step in and try to help run interference for y'all, make the detailed decisions that y'all don't have time for, and bring those to the court for them. Thank you.
Thank you. Although we cannot take action on anything that happens in our 3 minutes, if there is a commissioner that would like to be a point of contact and set up, see if you're interested in something like that, set up a workshop to discuss it. I do know that I believe believe you're correct on the assessment, that it is a something we would have to do in the very near future if it was something to happen this year. Otherwise, we'd have to wait until next year. Is there anybody that would like to do that?
I'll do it, because we need a park. And this has to be done by February, correct? Or during the month?
Well, right now...
I think that the appointment should be made, but then they can be made anytime during the year that there's a vacancy. So that's just the way that you would start.
Okay. By appointment. And do you have people that would be interested?
I can look for some more people.
I would appreciate that. But I'll be glad to help. We need our park back.
Okay. So we have a point of contact for Mr. Parrish. Is there anyone else that would like to address the board today?
I'd like to implement a few things on the county board.
Please give your name.
I'm J.B. Arrington.
Thank you.
I live next door. I'm next door neighbor to it. And the park is deteriorating, and we've got a lot of prospects for it. We've been working on this several years. Even when they were implementing this Cypress Bayou up here, several of us were on the investigating committee and found out it wasn't feasible to go ahead with the project. But we've got so much land on the other side of the bayou and no way to get there. And they're putting deer stands up, feeding deer. I've talked to the game wardens about that. There's no way to get there. It used to be that we had a bicycle path or a four-wheeler path, plus the touristers that come in that want to canoe in the bayou, and there's plenty of wildlife and stuff on both sides. And if you look at the map, they can go from Highway 12 to Orange Field. That's probably 15 or 20 miles of visual picture taking, studying, or whatever. So I'd like to emphasize that this project has been going on long enough, and it's time for us to act. If you got a cow out, get her back in, you know, and feed her or do something. But it's almost useless, and even the equipment and the structures out there are deteriorating, and there's no time to waste. There's plenty of avenues that we can get if we need extra compensation. You got the organizations here, Road and Bridge, and you got the Drainage District. All of these folks will, and we've talked with them, they will lend whatever efforts they can to secure the place where we're proud of it. And when touristers come through, they stop, they got a place to visit over there with the conveniences that they need. If they got extra time, get a motel room here, they can... And so many of them have bicycles on the back of their vans and so forth. They can drive over into the wooded section. And that's deteriorating. We can get the Forest Service in to plow fire lanes, and we can make lanes for egress and egress throughout the forest over there. And it's such a natural wonder over there. That we're wasting our time fooling around with any delay that we have. And that's my sermon. Thank you.
Thank you. And y'all might be interested, too, in staying through court to number 15. You'll get some more information from Ms. Bigley and with regards to the park. Is there anyone else that would like to address court today? All right. Well, then let's get on to agenda item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a proclamation recognizing Lamar State College Orange 50th anniversary. Commissioners Court acknowledges their hard work and dedication to our community. Proclamation reads as follows. Would you guys like to come up? Doctor? Dr. Johnson's here from Lamar.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
And is there anything y'all would like to put on the record or anything while you're here?
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, if you have the opportunity, at the Shahan Center on campus, will be the 50th anniversary celebration, and have all the former presidents of Lamar State College, including Dr. Welch and Dr. Shahan, will be there. So I encourage you to come and visit the college here at Orange.
Me and Commissioner Guffey had actually met each other at Lamar State College Orange, not 50 years ago, but a long time ago.
And, this story's going to get weird.
Lamar serves a great service to this community because it helps people that ordinarily couldn't start their education to get that start. And so I do value the Lamar State College Orange. I know it does a lot for our community.
And I'd like to reiterate that because it's such a positive. The looks of it, what it adds to the ambiance of downtown, just like Johnny said, it gives the community a place where kids that couldn't go away, they can go that first and get those first 2 years under their belt and give a good foundation for going on to college. Or y'all are supplying us with wonderful, like in the nursing program and the other programs, for people to go out and be able to get, after they're certified through you all, to be able to go out and get a good job, which would help our community and our workforce.
The same thing. I know. You know, we got to start there, and a lot of us in this town got our start there, looked at that school, and it was a great opportunity. But I know that you're working on things to move it into a 2-year from where you can actually get a 4-year there, and I think y'all going to be talking about some of those things, and we're excited about that, excited about you being there. It's a great time for Lamar State College Orange.
As someone that's a first generation to finish high school, much less go to college, the 2-year school allowed this country kid to be able to go to college, and so I'm so excited to be the president and to bring more kids like me who may have grew up in rural areas the opportunity to learn a trade or get their 4-year degree wherever they want to. We'll supply them the first 2 years.
That's wonderful.
We
appreciate it.
Okay.
Proclamation reads, whereas the Orange County Commissioners Court is proud to honor and recognize Lamar University Orange for 50 years of providing an affordable quality education in an environment emphasizing friendly service, personal attention, and academic courses that transfer to senior institutions, technical and vocational courses geared to the job market, and personal enrichment and skills enhancement courses. Whereas Lamar State College Orange has faced a variety of challenges and obstacles since its inception in 1969 and has overcome these difficulties by relying on the community's commitment and determination to expand educational opportunity and enhance the overall quality of life. Whereas the history of Lamar State College Orange is forever tied to its community, community leaders approached Dr. Thomas Salter, Dean of Extended Services at Lamar University, about offering freshman-level extension courses in Orange. Whereas the Lamar Board of Regents approved the request in June 1969, and classes began in the fall, being housed in the former Tilley Elementary School, where the initial enrollment period where the initial enrollment was reported at 345 students. Whereas Dr. Joe Ben Welsh, the key figure in guiding the college through its first 20 years, who was appointed director of the center in 1970, said, "The very creation of this institution is a direct consequence of the community's efforts." Did we get that about right?
That sounds absolutely wonderful.
So moved, Jim.
Second.
One and three. One. Two.
Yes.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Motion passes.
And now, Commissioner Trahan, we're not part of the original 345.
I
think that's debatable.
We were in the voting out.
Oh, okay.
Frankly, I was surprised y'all accepted. But that's all right.
That's what you know.
So are we.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Orange County Commissioners Court does hereby proclaim Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019, to be remembered as the 50th anniversary kickoff of Lamar State College Orange, and sends many thanks and congratulations to the faculty and staff at Lamar State College Orange for their hard work and dedication to our community for 50 years. And as soon as we get that signed, we'll get you all a picture. Well, I think there's some folks here that may want a photograph of it before you leave, and yourself.
I read the article about the Fort Arthur. It was in the paper, and people were coming back. And how big
Full circle. Full circle.
I went to Star High School, and we had y'all from Yellow Jackets, and y'all were kind of
big. Old my brother and sister graduated in class 64 and 66.
Well, you hit my one of mine.
Thomas Jefferson.
You were in Yellow Jackets.
No, we moved to Livingston 50 years ago.
I truly appreciate it. It's good to be home.
See you.
We are. Glad to have you.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you.
It's weird. Yeah.
I know.
Number three, presentation from Mark Theodore, Director of Public and Government Affairs, Jefferson Energy Companies, on their annual payments and to certify that Jefferson Energy is in compliance with the terms of their agreement. I spoke to Ms. Hill earlier. There was a bit of a communication glitch, and this will be on the agenda for next week, unless there's some objection. But they're not going to be here today. Number four, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the monthly reports from the county treasurer for the month ending December 31st, 2018, and recording in the minutes of the court, A, approval of investments in the amount of $635,739.47, B, approval of interest earned to date in the amount of $40,538, C, treasurer's report of revenues received and disbursed in accordance with local government code 114.026D, an affidavit of approval by court. This report will be available on the county's website for viewing. D, pledged security collateral for a total of $94,628,486.92. Summary as follows. Wells Fargo Bank, $83,824,602.29. First Financial Bank, $10,803,884.63. Anything to add? No extra money or anything?
No checks in the mail? 2 weeks? So moved.
Second.
One and three? One? Two?
Yes.
Judge, aye. Three? Four?
Aye.
Number five, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court the county treasurer's quarterly investment report as required by HB 2459, Public Funds Investment Act. This report is for the quarter ending December 31st, 2018, and will be available for viewing on the county's website.
Is this the quarterly that's combined?
Yeah. So
three.
Second.
Four. One.
Eight.
Two?
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three?
Aye.
Four?
Aye.
Number six, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings, and also specifically as followed by the county auditor.
For approval on January 22nd, 2019. From the general fund, $156,591.41. Road and bridge, $7,448.94. Mosquito control, $4,508.95. Adult probation, $6,547.51. Airport, $267.92. Other funds, $37,666.55, for a total payment of $213,031.28.
You want to go ahead and pay the bill? This is our office.
Since I'm new, what, Penny, what would be, when you say other funds, like, tell me.
Like, a lot of this was restricted funds.
Okay.
Motion by one, three, one and three, one, two,
aye.
Judge, aye, three,
aye.
Four,
aye.
Hey, Commissioner, do you have a listing of that?
Behind this, okay, I didn't know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Number seven, discussion and possible action regarding receiving county auditor's monthly financial report for fiscal year to date through December 2018. Understand today would be no action. You were getting something together for a different item today. Okay, we'll revisit that next week. Number eight, discussion and possible action regarding a line item transfer, Constable Precinct 4, from 001-111-53830 contingency, in the amount of $371 to 001-778-59999, other for $371, the purpose is to provide funds for a grant writing class for a constable. Any discussion?
Increase in his budget, that's the rate he's taking on.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Hey, Commissioner, Trahan, what ended up happening? This was a class of basically four classes, and so the other three were in last year's, and it just kind of
slipped.
He didn't realize that he was going to have, yeah.
Did he offer to use
his
account?
Have it.
Oh, he's out?
We've looked in every other scenario, and basically it's...
This is it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I make a motion
to approve. This is where it's got to go. Okay.
All right. Well, that's fine. I just want to make sure we ask those questions.
Okay.
Oh,
absolutely.
Motion's made. Motion two.
Second.
Second by four. One.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Okay. Number nine, discussion and possible action authorizing the purchase of furniture, judge's chair, six swivel back tilt chairs and two tables, and a dry erase whiteboard for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 courtroom. The total cost of this will be $4,003.15 and will come from 001-111-53190 insurance claims. It's my understanding, and Judge, if you'd like to come up here and say anything, you're welcome to. I was that close.
Yeah, you let
Gabe him out. He said right back down.
Absolutely. But we discussed this. We did discuss it with Missy Pillsbury. Missy's not here. I don't think she's able to make it today. We do have the funds, is my understanding, in that insurance fund. These items probably would, had they not been in that pod, they would have probably been claimed. There's some issues on the other side too, on claims. In short, it all came out fairly even. The judge's chair and item number 10 were indeed claimed on insurance. So the long story short on this is we do have the money in insurance funds to replace these items that were damaged from Hurricane Harvey. And probably the most logical place to take them out of is this fund. And we're not required a line item transfer if we're taking it directly out of that fund.
Now, normally, it's kind of a help along.
Okay.
So, I prefer a better trail, but it is possible to do it as well.
So. Okay, and this isn't going to be a regular thing. This is a one-time kind of deal to get things set back up so he can start handling his court and quit having folks sit Indian style on the floor. It hurts my knees. So,
one question I had. So we don't believe we're going to try to claim any of that other material?
No. And I talked extensively with Missy about this, and there's some reasons for that. It's nothing out of the ordinary or anything. First of all, it's a year and a half later. And again, some things that had been claimed, it turned out that those claims were erroneous. We corrected those with the insurance company, and this is a way to solve that problem without us having to dive back in and doing a re-inventory of everything. The insurance company, is my understanding, they're good with everything intact. They're good with it, and we have the funds available to go ahead and get his furniture.
Just to answer your question, can I go ahead and speak to Commissioner Tran, ask your question. Some of this stuff was taken from JP Courtroom to Lumberton and stored and then back into that container, then it was damaged. Okay. And then some of it sitting there 15 or 16 months due to our climate, things of that nature, it was just beyond repair. So that's kind of why we wasn't able to claim those situations. Okay.
And look, we can't possibly be worse than a classroom full of teenagers.
I agree. Right, I agree. We're making it work. Thank you, Judge.
And Kenny, you're comfortable with the paper trail as it is. I mean, I know it's not your preferred way, but you're comfortable like this.
Yes.
Okay.
As long as we don't make it a habit, right? Got it.
So moved.
Second.
One and three. One.
Three.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Okay. Number 10, and this one was separated because we did take action on this last week. Discussion and possible action authorizing the purchase of a two-drawer file cabinet for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 office. This request was approved in the previous court session. Today's action would be to approve the amount of $341.08 to be taken from 001-111-53190 insurance claims for this purchase.
So
moved. Second. Three and one. One.
Three.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number 11, discussion and possible action to revise policy 370, retirement benefits. As some of you may know, Ms. Ardwine and Joel Ardwine are not here today. They have a family matter, a happy family matter. So they're going to be there. I believe it's the birth of a grandbaby.
Birth of a grandbaby.
But our treasurer has agreed to kind of help walk us through some of the wording. Would you like to read down what you got?
Well, actually, Maury said I probably knew the policy, but there are some things on the revision of what's in there that's going to have to be added. That's already in effect, so I don't know how the court wants to, if you want to discuss what the proposal is going to be.
Can you? I mean, because I know that you're kind of getting caught off guard by this too a little bit. I would feel a little bit more comfortable. I think you would too. I mean, you tell me if we just waited and no action this till next week till we get someone that can fully explain everything. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with it myself, but I would like Lori's input.
Right, I think it would be good.
Well, they talked earlier.
And I think it would be good to have the policy that you're voting on. But then again, I think Lori was kind of confusion of what y'all might be wanting to put in there. Revised, which I was proposing to do. I really don't know if my answer would be that we should have a workshop to decide this, or if y'all want to discuss what.
I think court should be a little more clear on what direction we're wanting to go, so that they have a better idea of what they're wanting being asked to be wrote up, and legal has a better idea of what they're asking to be approved. My understanding, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, from our last executive session there that this issue came up, is that court was looking at, what is it, 110.17? Is that the date? October, yes. 10.117. I got the one and the 10 mixed up. 10.117 is basically setting a date. That's back when the date is already in the policy. Prior to 10-1-17, returning the insurance to 8 years of be invested in the city and all the other TRS requirements for retirement.
Right.
Post 10-1-17 are passed, there's a new hire policy already in effect on the books, and that being the policy for any employee hired from that point forward.
Yeah, and that was going to be, she sent some revisions out, and like I said, it is. I just think it'd be better because I know that or she sent me a copy of it. I talked to her a little bit. I think you got it too. And I just think it'd be better to have because that's the thing. The main thing we want to do is make sure that whatever changes we made to the old system that we had, but with the current changes effective 10-1-2017, we didn't want to affect those. We wanted those to remain in effect. So it was how she was going to write that up into the policy to make it so that it was clear. And I think that's where she was going to get with you, Denise, on it, and make sure she was doing that right for the policy. And I don't know that she's actually showed you that yet.
I've looked at it, and yeah. I have some issues we'll have to address.
Okay. And so,
would it be better to have a workshop?
Well, I think as long as
legal. That came up last time, and the answer then was no. But look, it doesn't matter to me. What I will say is I talked to Ms. Hardwine this morning. At that time, she was, no, don't delay this just because we're out of town. But then you were going to get back with her about some of the wording. What did she say then? Did she need to come back?
Well, because the revision policy that she did, she didn't add in the part that's already in effect to certain retirees on the sliding scale.
There's three. Right.
So that has to be in the policy.
That has to be addressed for those.
For those three individuals.
Yeah, I think it needs to have the exception language in there because
right.
they fall under the exception because they can't be changed.
That was my understanding too.
So yeah. I think that was the only question we had is how to write that in there. So that exception for those individuals was
there. So the court is wishing to do anything before 10-1-17. To go back to just the TCDRS requirements.
8 years yes. Mm-hmm. And then post, stick with the same policy that's already in effect, you know, the new hires. One thing I'd like, as a court, we're going to have to address someday, though, at least start paying attention to, is our unfunded debt, whether we start addressing that in budgets or whether we start addressing that at some point. It's definitely going to have to come under consideration.
Well, and to go back, that was one of the things when we made the changes in 10-1-2017, that was to address that, it just takes time to catch up with it without making a change immediately that affects a lot of folks. The change we did in 10-1 will affect those unfunded mandates as we move forward. That was the plan with that. That is actually, she still has that in here.
Yep.
Like I said, it was back to the question of how to, the last thing, like I said, when I talked to her, is how do we address the three individuals that fall under the sliding scale because we can't revert those back. So there has to be an exception, a line of it that says there's an exception for those.
That revision has to be part of the
yes.
policy.
Okay.
It
and it's not in here currently.
Right.
So we would have to either write that in or I would feel better if you and her get together. I mean, it's the court, but to make sure.
I prefer to have it written up where it's clear, clean, and neat. Let's get it done the right way the first time.
Sure. Just checking the revisions that we have. I mean, whenever we change a policy, we don't necessarily put in, well, everybody that retired under X gets changed. Since that was, for lack of a better term, the law of the land at the time, is that revision required to be written in there?
Well, I mean, there's so once we're long gone, if people looking back, they're not going to have any idea how come some are on the sliding scale. And
some aren't.
So, I mean, it really does need to be part of the policy.
Well, I know, but I was strictly asking for the legal answer, is it a requirement legally?
I don't know that it's a legal requirement, but it is, in my opinion, a common sense. I think it absolutely should be.
Well,
I can't even keep up with it.
It's confusing. That's the thing is that I think that whenever you look at most of the policy changes that are coming, you generally affect a whole lot more folks. This time we're looking because of the change being so quick from the last one to this one. There's those three individuals that are out there, and I think she just wanted there to be clarity on that. So that to your point, down the road when we're not sitting here, y'all aren't sitting there, somebody could look at that and know why those three people were not as part of that, either one of those two plans. So.
I mean, even if you didn't put the sliding scale, which I think is the best practice, you would have to put something to recognize that
those three individuals, yes,
two persons who retired between X and Y.
Yeah, and I think that's the language she was trying to get to. But y'all hadn't handled it yet.
But I think for clarity's sake, because once you change a policy, the old policy is gone. So for clarity's sake, I think it just makes sense to put what the policy was and then acknowledge that it's no longer applicable.
And during our session about this, when we were talking about this, one of the things that came up was indeed a workshop. But I believe that the consensus was, no, we just wanted to come to court. Are we now deciding that we would rather have a workshop on this?
No.
Okay. I feel pretty good. She just get that language in about, get with you on that language of the exception. I think we're good.
And okay. So the vote is that effective immediately. Or if anybody that's retired, because anybody that's retired is going to be up to this date, or whatever date you make it effective, that they're going to still be under that sliding scale.
I think you would have to mention those three employees if you say from this date forward, excluding the employees who were hired after October 1st of 2017. That policy would still be effective. We know it won't. It's just a matter of how we word it to make sure it's clear to everyone who reads it in the future and everybody understands what we're trying to do.
I think what Christy's asking is whether you want to take a vote to make it effective today without a written policy or whether you want to wait until we actually have the policy.
But I thought y'all's suggestion was no, just hold off on that until you get it written and have something to present.
Which would be next.
I mean, it's not like this is something that... Yeah, it probably needs to be handled fairly quickly, but if we need to wait a week to get it written, I think we could probably spare that.
My recommendation is to wait until there's a written policy. We have a problem now that there were a lot of changes made that people were hired when the policy said something, and that's not what it was.
Yes.
Then that's what we need to do. Table it.
We'll, no action unless there's no objection, or unless there's an objection.
I'm good with that.
All right. Moving on to number 12, discussion and possible action, appointing a primary voting member and designated alternate member to serve on the Jefferson Orange Hardin Regional Transportation Study, JORTS, TPC for 2019 to 2020. This person will take the seat of the previous voting member, Jody Crump. David Dubos was the alternate member but was never replaced after he left the commissioner's court. We have some suggestions. Is anyone here? I'm going to guess Bob if he's not here. So. Okay.
Well. I wouldn't mind doing that. I've been to several of those meetings to kind of keep track because so much of what TxDOT does affects our county that I've been trying to monitor that on an unofficial basis.
I make a motion we appoint Commissioner Trahan to the JORTS Committee representative.
And as the alternate. I'm on Southeast Treasure Regional Planning, so I can't do both.
I'll be the
there you go.
I make a motion. We
a formal motion.
Make a motion. We appoint Commissioner Trahan to the primary representative and Commissioner Beauchamp to the alternate position for the JORTS Committee.
I will second that.
Okay. 4-3. 1. You can abstain if you choose.
I think I'll abstain.
Okay.
Then and I abstain.
Very good. Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
Come on, we're going to take a few notes here. Okay. Number 13, discussion and possible action regarding line item transfer Social Services, 001-450-54130. Contracted Services and Maintenance, amount of $425, 2-001-450-57550. Repairs, rental, construction, etc., amount of $425. The purpose is to provide funds to repair a copier.
Second.
One and two. One.
Three.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Fourteen. Discussion and possible action on approving task order number four with Wendorf, Beward, and Partners, LLC, to continue providing professional services associated with the application and program management of FEMA and HUD CDBG-DR funded disaster recovery grants and funds for other services as it relates to Hurricane Harvey.
Afternoon.
We're fine.
So this is a continuation of our contract with Orange County to provide the services for disaster recovery. Most of it is related to Harvey. And there has been some occasions where we've been asked to help Road and Bridge or something, some of the past disasters, just on a very, very short basis. The majority of the work continues to be with FEMA. However, we tomorrow have a meeting with the General Land Office, and I believe the CDBG portion will start to crank up, and we will start to also prepare applications for possible consideration by the GLO having to do with Hurricane Harvey. It's still a coordinated effort between what's going on with FEMA and what's going on with the Land Office to kind of seamlessly try to interweave the funding for those two major sources.
Do you have a projection of the budget necessary for task order number four?
Task order number four right now, what I have put together is about $1.7 million. Very similar to the past ones, this is a not to exceed. It is based on actual work achieved during that period of time where we provide time cards and supporting documentation. To give you a sense, task order three, and I'm kind of just looking over, it was right about $1.8 million. As of this morning, my projection, we've only spent about $560,000 to $600,000 out of that $1.8 million task order. It's a projection. It's what I think possibly could happen over the next 6 months. It really depends on the funding agencies. In the task order four that I'm bringing for you, not only do we have hours in there to be able to continue working on the permanent work, but there is also work effort anticipated for the FEMA 428 program, the continuation of the hazard mitigations. Orange County has begun to receive responses from TDEM on the 8 hazard mitigation projects, looking pretty favorably right now. And then again, like I talked about, potentially to start, hopefully, in the next 6 months, some of the actual designs, starting to get the designs out the door and stuff like that.
Do you have any, off the top of your head, numbers on how much your services for the county since y'all started are, and maybe what they had been projected to be? I understand you're coming in under that.
Yes.
So let's. I'm just trying to see. If I'm putting you on the spot, I apologize. I knew you'd have the last two. I didn't know if you have all of them.
I did not go back and add them up. They've all been somewhere around $1.5 million to $1.7 million. So we've done three of them. So about $4.5 million or so is what the projection was. Less than spending probably will be somewhere under $2 million.
I'm just trying to think back of what all we've approved so far, and that's what I'm coming to. Yeah. I think it's just under two.
I try and best guess what could happen in a good scenario. I don't want to catch y'all short. I don't want to have to come back and say, didn't anticipate FEMA actually approving something, although eventually FEMA is going to actually finally start approving some of the permanent work.
These funds will be coming out of reimbursement, is that right?
Yes, sir.
One Yeah, one of the things that we talked about, the auditor and I talked about, is yes, they do come out of a reimbursement, they come out at the end. And so sometimes our cash flow becomes an issue with the services because, I mean, wherever the end is on it, look, all I can tell you is we just ended Ike, what, a month and a half ago? We still haven't ended Ike. Oh, my gosh. Okay, anyhow, the point is sometimes it does take a long time, so we have to look at our cash flow and everything. That's why I was asking you those numbers. I appreciate the fact that y'all been working with us on that, and I hope you'll continue to work with us on it because it gets very difficult to pay that.
We certainly understand. A reimbursement program is tough, especially when things take as long as they're taking to get finalized, so I understand that. And we are doing everything we can to be as diligent with our powers.
With regards to the reimbursement, and you could probably, between you or Joel, probably be the best expert we have. It's my understanding that in this particular disaster, this Harvey-related disaster, that the federal government is putting a lot more of the stuff on the front end than on the back end to try to close these accounts out faster instead of an account like Ike running for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, whatever. Is that meeting some success in y'all's view? It has a big deal because it tends to tell us when we might get our reimbursement.
Some people are trying.
This Harvey is a little more efficient as far as getting the projects first identified. As far as the approval process and getting them to the end, no, it's basically being the same. Whether it's because of the number of storms they had in 2017, FEMA is still very much stretched to their limits. Still, a lot of the holdup is also with TEDM, because TEDM still has to approve a lot of these things. So there's just a lot of changing going on with all of these resource agencies. I'd like to tell you it's better. I'd like to tell you eventually we're going to figure this out. But every storm seems to have its nuances, and every storm seems to take 5, 7, 10 years to really get through the process. I think y'all are doing very well. From what I talked to other colleagues, Orange County probably has more in the pipeline right now than any other community. I think we're close on a lot of things. I think some of the things we're going to talk about next is very exciting for Orange County. So, we look forward to it.
Oh, I just have a question. You do a very great job. Dividing things up and everything within this will be divided up between the different projects so that the reimbursement we know which pieces of, because like on the previous things, we don't have that, you know, there is no gap in the next
quarter,
like 15 and 16.
As we go through each phase of this, in our time card system, we actually have to be very, resilient with, we have to change as FEMA changes as they approve it. We've gone from a very high level, and as we keep on going through the program, we'll eventually start tracking our time for each individual road, for each individual project, because that's then how FEMA's going to reimburse it. So having a good audit trail, having a good documentation trail is really important. We are separating all these by the various funding sources so we can keep up and tell you, if I had all the documentation here, exactly how much has gone towards FEMA, how much has gone to CPG, and how much has gone to other, which is kind of a catch-all if y'all ever needed it. It's just to be able to provide you whatever services you need because you never know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. And so we're trying to do that advanced Ouija board guessing, if you would, to make sure that anything y'all would need, we'd be able to support y'all and provide you some assistance.
There's sometimes when we have these conversations, we ought to hand out a glossary.
Yes, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes it's me too. I'm like, all right, I give. I can't imagine what
it is. Because I know, for instance, TEDM, I know what all that means, but a lot of folks out there may not understand TEDM and CDBG. And all
sorry.
That. So, for the record, TEDM is Texas Department of Emergency Management.
Correct. And then CDBG is the Community Grant Development. That is the HUD program that the General Land Office administers. That is just now coming into play.
Some of those rules would...
Yes.
Or maybe, hopefully, finally get finalized.
A lot of the guidance from the GLO is being finalized. We're going to be fortunate to Mari in our workshop with the General Land Office. Heather LeGrone is actually coming.
That's great.
So we sent them advanced questions ahead of time so they can be as prepared and we can be as we walk away from this workshop, we will know hopefully everything we need to know to start putting together these applications to get some of these questions answered that have just been dragging out, of which the biggest one still has to do with, is the GLO willing to provide advanced planning funds to Orange County to help with these applications? So we're hoping to get a lot of those answers tomorrow and in the workshop.
And Heather, did she give you any indication on her on the direction they're going with that, with the advanced funding? I know that she had said a couple of weeks ago when we talked to her that she was pushing pretty hard to get an answer. Still no.
We haven't heard yes yet, okay. But we also haven't heard no. So
well, that's good.
Yeah, all we can do is keep on telling her exactly what you said, the need for communities to have some assistance to help them recover. Y'all just didn't have all, you know, nobody has that.
Yeah, nobody has that.
Just sitting around and think not being able.
And I mean, for the sake of those that are hearing from you and talking about what it is you do, because for me, this is the first one that we've had since I've been judge, and obviously you and I have had several conversations. B-Word and Wendorf B-Word and I keep saying associates, but it's partners.
It's partners.
Wendorf B-Word partners. Their job is to be the pardon the expression, the pit bull for the county, going after the stuff that we need from CDBG and HUD, of course, by extension, FEMA, and the grant money that we need. And a lot of counties are vying for this money. A lot of cities are vying for this money. There's a lot of people in there with their voices being heard. I would say this, I'm very glad that y'all try to make yourself the loudest voice in the room. As a matter of fact, Nancy actually accompanied us to the meeting with Commissioner Bush recently to continue shouting that voice, and I appreciate that. It helps a lot because, frankly, we really need that in this area. We need to get back on our feet again, and that was, as everybody said, we beat that horse to, what is your phrase, to bone, that Harvey was bad. And if it hadn't been for your help, we wouldn't be where we are now. And I will tell you this from talking to the other judges and the other counties, we are ahead of most of the counties in this area. So that's a good thing.
Well, you know, we need someone to sit in those rules and make sure that we're, if not eliminating, surely limiting any clawback in the future, because you never know what we're going to try to pull back. So it's important that we cross those T's, dot those I's like we're supposed to, so that we kind of keep that open.
Especially since their rules tend to be moving targets.
Yes. A lot.
The other thing that we are really very focused on and committed to is helping your staff also learn it. Because they're going to be the front line of the next disaster, and there will be a next disaster. And so everything that we know, we're passing along. There's no keeping it to ourselves, you know, so we know more than you. What we know, they know. And so we're doing everything we can to keep on helping them with this process to be better prepared for the next disaster and have some SOPs in place and have some documents in place that when it starts to hit, y'all are already collecting all the information that needs to be collected.
Before we take a vote, however, having said all that, please, you don't have to get anywhere near that 1.7. You will be perfectly happy for it to be far, far less than that.
I will be perfectly happy for it to be a lot less, and Orange County received the money, and we can get on with these permanent projects. And we're working ourselves out of a job as fast as we can.
don't worry. There'll be another one.
Two.
One.
Two.
Aye. Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
I don't know why you left.
Well, because we're going to.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you
have... Yeah, I just want to say something. That we are lucky to have him here because it helps guide through this, but we're also very lucky to have Joel, Michelle, Leon, Morgan all working on this process too. It is a tough process, and we need everybody on deck to get through this, and everybody as a team has done a great job, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, the documentation that goes into this kind of stuff to even move it forward is immense, and it's detailed, and you got to have, we've got to have good people, and we do, and we appreciate all that, because we've sat there and sifted through some of that stuff that y'all look at every day. It doesn't take long to figure out that you don't want to do that every day, unless you just love that kind of stuff. And I'm glad y'all love it. So thank you, yes.
Okay, number 15, discussion and possible action on approving the transmittal of requests to FEMA for Orange County to utilize the public assistance alternative procedures under Section 428 for damages sustained at Claiborne West Park.
So I'm back.
Hello.
Actually, I'm going to turn it over to John Catalano. He is a registered professional engineer. He has worked very hard in coordination with Sabrina Gray and other parks people, and Kurt and the judge and others, to really talk about what happened at the park, what are the options with FEMA and the 428 program. A short little thing about the 428 program. It is an alternate delivery method by FEMA that they enacted after Tropical Superstorm Sandy. Correct name of it. In theory, it is supposed to expedite the process of getting permanent work. We had a workshop before, I think, where we talked about this. The benefits of a 428 program is you take all of the damage of a certain area and you can combine them into one lump sum amount, and then you have flexibility of what you can use that lump sum amount for. John's done a wonderful job. Yes, it's a very detailed report. I believe y'all got an advanced copy of it. It's about 134 pages. A lot of it is a very, very detailed estimate. But I'm going to turn it over to John, and he can answer any questions y'all would have about the process or the document he's put together. What we're hoping out of this meeting is y'all's agreement with the report, so we can turn it over to FEMA so they can start their review of it. They will go through in detail. They will either agree or come back with their version of what the costs believe. It'll be kind of a give and take negotiation. The end point is Orange County, based on the current timeline, would have to sign a contract with FEMA if they all agree on the lump sum amount by February 25th. And that's why we need to work as fast as possible to get this in FEMA's hands. So I'll turn it over to John, and he can answer any questions y'all may have about the report.
Good afternoon, guys. As Nancy mentioned, I've been working on this effort since about mid to late October. Turned over the final report to you guys, I think, on Friday. So I'm happy to walk you through it. I know it's a lot, so it's very detailed, or just answer any questions that you guys have.
Well, first, could you give us just a little detail? I believe you were the one that found the structural issues with regards to pavilions 1, 2, and 3.
Yes,
a lot of folks are, of course, asking about that. We want to make sure that they understand the reasoning for why we closed those pavilions, the public safety issue, kind of what you found.
Yeah, sure thing. So we did identify some structural deficiencies at the restaurant pavilions 1 through 3. I've visited the pavilions probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 times over the past couple of months, and every time I go, I notice something new, particularly the cracks around the base of those fire pit chimneys over there. So the main items that were identified as being structurally deficient were the column base plates that support the perimeter of the pavilion, as well as the columns themselves, 8x8 wood posts are starting to rot at the bottom. There's deterioration with the brackish contaminated floodwaters of those base plates. I mentioned fire pits. There's some pretty significant cracking that's at the base of those. That in itself, those fire pits and chimneys actually support the roof above. So it's the main structural support of that entire building there. Also noticed some separation in some of the roof joists from the fire pit that all ties to the corners of those chimneys. And you see some separation around them, suggesting some lateral movement of the chimneys, potentially from the water. And then lastly, there's some minor kind of cracking that's more probably to be fixed with a repair in one of the restrooms. But as a whole, when you take all that together, concerns about the structural integrity of those shelters. And hopefully what that results in is actually FEMA agreeing on that, and we get the full replacement for those shelters.
So because I... Oh,
go ahead.
When you said that about the restrooms, are they in, they're not bad? Because I thought they were pretty bad.
I guess the aesthetics of the restaurant, you know, there's the doors there.
Right.
There are some ADA compliance issues at some of the stalls. And that is actually part of the recommendation for the replacement of all these things.
Okay.
So, but the main issue is really the structural issue. I can't point to a specific thing specifically inside the restaurant.
Okay, but what about like some of the bridges?
Mm-hmm.
Is that included in that?
Yes, ma'am. The bridges are included in there. There's 4 bridges in total. It's really 2 bridges and then 2 walkways where we've actually advocated for replacement of the walkway.
So you looked at all the structures. You looked at the bridges, the paths, and so forth. Can you give everyone here and the court an idea of kind of the direction you're looking at going?
Yeah, sure.
If we can get the 428 approved?
Right. So we've assessed, I think, in total 10 different facilities. I'll run through them. It starts with the office building right there at the entrance of the park. We're looking at full replacement of the office building of 550 square feet. We talked about the restaurant pavilions. We're advocating for full replacement of those pavilions. In addition to that, we're looking at doing 2 separate restrooms that are aside from the pavilion that are part of the project. Other more minor facilities, there's a shelter by the amphitheater, the Pond Lake Area Shelter. That's what we refer to it as. It's a full replacement of that shelter, as well as the footings for the columns. Also, shelter number 4, replacement of the roof there. That's the one that's kind of on the right. You come around the curve by the tennis courts. At the Halliburton Pavilion, there's some lighting panels and electrical boxes that will be replaced. We're proposing hazard mitigation of those, where we actually elevate them and put platforms so that in future flood events, it does not get flooded. The third base dugouts, the fencing there, and the roof, and the poles that support it are all recommended for replacement. At the amphitheater, there's a walkway on the right-hand side of the stage, the open-air stage there, that we're advocating for full replacement of it. I mentioned the bridges. You have 2 crossing bridges that are kind of set back in the woods that are more substantial in length, 165 feet and 175 feet. We're advocating for replacement of that one, both of those. There's 2 crossing bridges that cross over swales in front of shelters number 4 and 6 that would be replaced. And then lastly, shelter number 5, we're recommending replacement of.
What about the bridge going across the canal there?
The large bridge, yeah, that was not included in the FEMA damage assessments originally, so it's not part of this grant.
So although, and correct me if I'm wrong about the 428, if we do get the funding that we're seeking, even though it may not be directly related to that, is that something that if we had the money left over to repair, we could use it for that purpose, or is that outside the scope?
That's going to have to be a request made to FEMA. So once we actually go and put the design documents together, we're going to be seeing what the final lines are. If there are excess funds, we're going to have to go back to FEMA and request to use the funds in different ways. So you can see that they...
And we can't request that up front?
We'll need to go ahead and wait until we see if we have excess funds. Because it wasn't a facility identified as being managed.
So when we were going through all this, Judge, we debated that exact thing. Do we go ahead at this stage in this report and say the potentials that Orange County would be looking at using some excess funds? We both agreed that let's just say we'll follow the process once we identify how much funds are available. Don't want to really rope ourselves in at this point in time. You know, there's going to be a big difference if we have $20,000 in excess versus $100,000. I think at this point in time, John's estimate, and I'm going to guess at this one, he's got it in this report, is somewhere around $770,000. So, and again, this is our going in. And with our going in on this, John's done a really good job of pushing the envelope.
Does this also include, like, fallen trees across that, the removal of any of that, it doesn't include any of that clearing.
It's purely structural.
Trying to replace, repair, improve.
I know Michelle and Sabrina worked at the National Park Service. Are we going to be able to merge these two so that we're not doing something, rebuilding something that doesn't really fit in the design?
I've had that discussion with Sabrina. At this point in time, it's still very, very early on with that park grant. That's more of a planning document. So what I've encouraged her to do is make sure that the Park Service has this document and we keep them abreast of what Orange County is proposing to do.
Okay. I think they've been trying to set up a meeting, come in town, trying to get with everybody's schedule. It's been a little difficult.
Right.
So maybe we need to make sure that happens pretty quick so they're all understanding the process.
And I think that, you know, just they would have maybe some assistance to Orange or some ideas. Once we agree with FEMA what the dollar amount is, and then we agree what the priorities of the repairs are, you know, the shelters, the bathrooms, the office, you know, and then let's design something that not only fits your vision of the future, but also will be very resilient to storms. And also take into account the maintenance aspects of it, because we don't want to put in something that's maintenance prohibitive. So, you know, it's just kind of meshing all these things together. This is just the first stage, getting FEMA to approve that dollar amount. And we want that dollar amount to be as high as possible.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Please.
So I think we started with $600,000. By the time John finished, it was $770,000. Let it go.
And I think for the folks here, and y'all explained this to me pretty well, the difference, one of the differences on this is that the 428 is more designed based around the damages that you have as opposed to, say, a project worksheet which discusses your plans for the future. And, again, I would like to take it as far as we can take it. I don't know why that one bridge wasn't included originally. I don't know if it's not considered part of the park or what the reason why.
I can tell you, it because of it was damaged during Rita.
Oh, because it was damaged during
Rita.
So time.
When FEMA came in, and they wouldn't even look at it.
It was Rita.
It was not repaired after Rita.
Well, did we get funds for it?
I don't
was here during Rita.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave us anything for that then.
I wasn't here.
It was unnecessary.
None of us were here.
Well, you know,
I'm here now.
It was documented in during Rita that it was
Michelle,
already.
What I understand is outside of this claim, when we get through the National Park Service, they'll kind of put us in contact with organizations that could fund something.
Yes, what they do is they go out for, and once you get a seal of approval, they go out and do the recommendations and they point us in the direction to pursue them.
So we could tack that on to what we're getting here and really make it do a lot of fun.
But today, the agenda item is to approve the transmittal of the request to FEMA for Orange County to utilize the public assistance alternative procedures under Section 428 for the damages of the park. And unless there's further discussion, I so move.
I don't second.
Any other discussion? Okay. One.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Number 16, discussion and possible action regarding the transfer of the following items. I'm going to just do them as presented. They are five asset numbers. The first one is a desk unit that's going from surplus to the airport. The rest are from MIS to surplus.
And we have one to add one?
I thought you might.
Yes, sir. That's the place of our road and bridge. We have asset number 17309, which is a 1987 Caterpillar motor grader from road and bridge to surplus.
Wait, it's a what?
Caterpillar.
No, I heard that part. What year?
1987.
Okay.
It's a dinosaur.
Oh, dog, it's just a year.
From road and bridge to surplus?
Yes, sir.
So I'm including the addition of that in that meeting.
I second that.
Okay. Okay. One and three. One. Two.
Aye.
Good. Aye. Three. Four.
Aye.
Number 17, discussion of possible action regarding approving the dates for the online auction. The auctioneer is Renee Bates Auctioneers Incorporated. Open date, Monday, January 28, 2019. Closed date, Monday, February 11th, 2019. There's going to be a 1987 Caterpillar in that? Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Three and four. January 28th to February 11th. Okay, we have a motion from three, seconded by four. One.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number 18, discussion possible action regarding declaring inventory and non-inventory items in surplus to be sold in the upcoming online auction.
And y'all have an updated list, and it includes the
Caterpillar.
All right, one thing I have, concern of grading, we sent a road bridge out there to a lot of
truck to find that. I had it.
And all this auction should be part of this.
While we're on that subject, being that this is a considerable list, you're not going to read all that. Can we do that?
No.
Thank you. You're welcome to have a copy, though.
Oh, they do. They
oh, there you go. Clark, is there any way that you can maybe facilitate ahead of time people being able to get in there? Do we have a little bit of rock we can put down, something like that, in case it rains? Just ask.
Here. There. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out a way to stop the problem from last time, and since I can't stop the rain, that's the next best thing.
Well, we did work with purchasing and moving the stuff to the front.
I saw that, and I appreciate it.
More solid area.
Looks like there's going to be some more stuff back there. You'll have a 1987 Caterpillar to help move things around. So.
Just to be contrary, I think you ought to have to read the list.
I'll start reading it. No, kind of slow, no. Though.
Yeah, you can defer to. Yeah, that's what I thought about that after I said it. I kind of remembered that rule from my old days after I said that.
Be careful what you ask for.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Four. Reading all that there. One,
three,
two,
aye.
Judge, aye. Three,
aye.
Four.
Aye.
All right. And, number 19, discussion and possible action regarding approving the purchasing agent to advertise for proposals for the historic rehabilitation of the Orange County Courthouse for Orange County.
So moved.
Second.
One and three. Right now.
We had a meeting on Friday with Don Levy, and I was very impressed with him. He knows, is an expertise in historical architecture, and that's what we needed, was somebody that knew what they were doing with historical buildings. One thing that I was so proud to hear, that this courthouse is not as bad, he said, as people first thought it was. And that was a big plus to me, because it takes less time and it costs less money. So, and the citizens of Orange County are wanting their courthouse back and make it the landlady of Orange County that it should be. He said, I asked for July 4th, and we can all laugh on that because we know how much rain we've had. And he did say maybe end of August. He didn't mention that. But with the amount of rain that we have, we can hold them to anything. but they are going to begin work soon. And this has been something going on for a long time. It's finally something's being done. And I appreciate him and his work and his support for finding him.
Finding
an
engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we have a motion from one, seconded by three. Is there any other discussion? One, two,
aye.
Judge, aye. Three,
aye.
Four,
aye.
And on that note, number 20, discussion and possible action regarding allowing the selection of a committee to review and score the historic rehabilitation of the Orange County Courthouse proposals.
We're volunteers.
Yes, we are.
I will be on that committee. I'll be glad to. If they need somebody from the court.
And they do, and I think I'll take the other position for that, too, just because I've worked with LaBiche for a while, unless the court has an objection.
So, and Mr. LaBiche needs to be on that committee.
Correct.
On LaBiche.
Yep.
What about someone from the Heritage? No.
No, I think the rest is probably going to be filled up with the people from here. Obviously, Kurt should.
I would suggest there. Kurt.
Like number one.
I'm still writing that.
And we also probably need legal counsel, Denise.
There you go.
She's kind of.
Yeah, she was like hiding
not,
from that
she's
one.
She's not making eye contact.
Raise her hand. She wasn't going to do it.
Penny, would you want somebody yourself or somebody from your office to be on there for the financial?
I think we need
Lisa. Is that because she's not in here right now?
It's
sure.
Okay. We have five people. Is that a sufficient committee for you?
Six. That's six.
We have six?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kurt. I'll let you off. Okay. I think we're sufficient there,
yes,
Ms. Connie. As Connie has instructed me on several occasions before, she normally is not actually an official member of these committees, but she does come and make sure we mind our P's and Q's. We appreciate that. Okay, so the committee will be Don LaBiche, Kurt Guidry, Lisa Schroeder, Denise Grimion, Commissioner Beecham, and myself.
So moved, Judge.
Thank
you. Yeah, I'll accuse myself.
It's your choice. You certainly can, but as a committee. Hold on a second. I ain't even real good. One.
I get the first person.
Oh, thank God. Right. I thought you'd be.
One.
I. No, he said. Go.
Y'all want to do rock, paper, scissors?
Go, Johnny, go.
A.
Two.
I.
Judge, I. Three. Four.
I.
Okay, we have a committee. Do you want me to go ahead and send out a date? I will tell you I will be out of town next week at a mandatory school. So for those of you that are in here and on the committee, obviously that I'll be out. But I don't mind if y'all want to go ahead and move forward. Somebody want to spearhead setting up the date, or do you want me to just send something out from my office? Connie, would you mind trying to set up a date to get everybody together? I don't want to delay it. Please do not delay it on my account. My phone works, whatever y'all need. Otherwise, I'll be glad to get with you.
Yeah, sorry. So if the committee's to review and score the proposals, you haven't even sent out four proposals, or do you have those ready yet?
That is, Denise has a copy. I have a copy. And that is Mr. LaBiche's.
Okay.
Handle that.
No, I have faith in her. I think it's going to be in like an hour, right?
We can hope.
Okay. All right, then. I'll let you send out the date since y'all are going to be the first ones to know when we get any kind of response back anyway. All right. And finally, 21, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
So moved.
I'll second. One.
Two.
Judge, I. Three. Four.
Aye.
And we are adjourned at 2:55.